Thank you for your generous and regular support of Issues Etc. Your gifts and your prayers are vital to our Christ-centered, cross-focused radio outreach. A good summary of my hopes for Issues Etc. for 2009 are St. Paul's words to the Colossians. Pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Thank you again for your support of Issues Etc. We'll continue defending the faith, teaching the truth, and making the most of every opportunity to proclaim Christ and Him crucified. Welcome back for the last 10 minutes of this Friday's Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Wesley Smith joins us. We're going to be talking about biological colonialism. Sounds odd, doesn't it? It's worse than it sounds. Wesley Smith is a senior fellow in human rights and bioethics for the Discovery Institute, an attorney for the International Task Force on Euthanasia and Assisted Suicide, a special consultant to the Center for Bioethics and Culture, and author of several books, including Consumer's Guide to a Brave New World. Wesley, welcome back.
Happy New Year, Todd.
Our call-in number 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Wesley, you call it biological colonialism, and that sounds ominous enough, but this is even more ominous than it sounds. What is it?
Well, you have a situation that is increasing, actually, around the world in the very poorest countries in which well-off people from the West, generally the United States or the United Kingdom, that kind of Europe, are literally buying body parts of the destitute. So that if I need a kidney, for example, and I have the money, rather than waiting my turn in line and go through it in terms of the ethical principles that have been established for organ donation, I may decide, well, I don't want to wait. I'll go fly to India. I'll pay $1,000 to a broker who will find a tissue match for me, and some poor person will sell their kidney to me, and the transplant would occur in India. You have situations where that is so bad in the Philippines that the government has passed a law outlawing organ transplant surgeries for foreigners there because you had that kind of phenomenon ongoing. There have been reports, and I hope they're apocryphal, but they were on the BBC, so it's not like it's tabloid, of women in the Ukraine getting pregnant for an abortion to provide fetal stem cells. Or you have China, which has acknowledged killing prisoners and then selling their organs to people who come particularly from the United States, but elsewhere too, to buy them. And this is, to me, a form of biological colonialism because it is using the weakest, the most destitute, the most desperate, as if they were just a natural resource for our exploitation. It's really immoral and unethical.
It's part of a bigger trend that you have talked about many times on our program, Wesley, of viewing human beings at every stage of development or capacity as objects, as
yes,
objectifying the human person and the human being. Talk about that.
Yeah, you have a situation now where I think the most crucial question of the 21st century is, does human life have ultimate value simply and merely because it's human life? I often use the term human exceptionalism as a quick term to talk about that. Universal human equality, protection of the weak and vulnerable, things of this sort. And if we all have equal moral worth, if we accept that the just being human, that's all that's necessary to have this package of rights, such as the right to life, the right to bodily integrity, and so forth, the right to that we consider to be part of the universal human rights agenda. Then, of course, that's an ideal that we've always, our reach has exceeded our grasp. But if that comes with the package, we don't have to worry about, who will qualify for greater rights than other people, as we have in the past. But as we are achieving and moving towards that great goal, we are now in bioethics and in other areas moving away from it. So that in bioethics, as an example, many people like Peter Singer and many of the more prestigious bioethicists throughout the West say being a human being is not what gives value because that is speciesist, that is discrimination against animal, animals, what is necessary is a personhood status that is earned by having sufficient cognitive capacity. So in that view, you and I are persons, and we would have the highest moral value. But somebody like Terry Schiavo, who was once a person, would have been deemed to have lost that status because of the brain injury she received when she had her cardiac arrest. And therefore, when she was being dehydrated to death, I was in a debate with a bioethicist on Court TV, and I said, well, do you think Terry Schiavo's a person? He said, no, she's not, because she's lost those capacities. I said, well, then rather than taking away her feeding tube, why don't we just take her organs? And he was all for it. And so you see advocacy in bioethical journals and organ transplant medical journals and things of this sort to redefine death to include a diagnosis of persistent vegetative state. That isn't, those people they know are not dead, but they're saying because in this idea of personhood theory, they no longer have they are no longer personalized because of their injury, we can treat them as if they were dead. I mean, think about that. And then on the other end, you've got people advocating the creation of human cloned embryos for use in medical research. That is creating human life for the purpose of destroying it. And it is justified on the basis, well, these embryos are young. You know, they may not even have a nervous system yet by the time we destroy them. They're not conscious. What difference does it make? But personhood theory also would support fetal farming. That is, growing fetuses, say, in an artificial environment for organs or for experimentation, something, by the way, that is already explicitly legalized in New Jersey, so in terms of cloning. So you can see once you decide that being human is not what gives value and you reject human exceptionalism, what was it that Chesterton said? If you stop believing in God, that's a different issue. You won't believe in nothing, you'll believe in anything. And once you destroy human exceptionalism, those who are the weak and vulnerable who become the victims of this concept become in big trouble. But it's even getting worse than that, because I think we're experiencing, Todd, what I call a coup de culture. That is, like a coup d'etat is when the government is overthrown. I think the Judeo-Christian humanistic culture is being overthrown and supplanted and replaced. It's an ongoing process. It hasn't been done yet. But the new agendas are utilitarianism, which we've just been discussing, the bioethics agendas is an example of that. Hedonism, which isn't just matters of sensuality, but things of the idea that I have a right to scratch every itch and fulfill every impulse and desire. And I would include that poor man who was killed at Walmart when people stampeded to get the sale items. I mean, there was such a materialistic desire to fulfill my hope of saving $100 on a game that a man died. I mean, this, and people ran over him. And then the third aspect of that is earth religion or radical environmentalism. And as an example, let me just give you the movie The Day the Earth Stood Still, which is a new movie that has come out. In the original version in the 50s, the alien came to Earth to save humankind from itself. That is, to keep us from destroying ourselves and therefore also potentially threatening the galaxy, the alien came down. In the new version, which is A-list Hollywood, Keanu Reeves starring as the alien, the alien doesn't come here to save the human race. The alien comes here to commit mass genocide, destroy the entire human race for the purpose of literally saving the planet. And so you see that kind of anti-humanism, misanthropy, rife throughout much of the left political agendas, radical environmentalism, and the idea here is to have us feel so self-degraded and so humbled about our worth as a species that we will literally sacrifice ourselves for the environment or for the ecology. Deep ecology calls us the AIDS on the planet Earth. There's even this idea of the Earth as a living being called Gaia. And now we see the biggest cultural juggernaut of all, Hollywood, going in that direction.
Steve calls from his car. Steve, our time is short. Welcome.
Yeah. How long do you think it'll be before you see individuals, like in the movie The Island, where we're willing to make clones of ourselves to harvest our own organs because we're so fixated on ourselves that's all we care about.
Right, Steve, well, you know, Steve, about 30 seconds here, Wesley.
I think we're already there. Now, The Island, you had, you know, very beautiful actors and actresses being created as adults. but we are already trying to create cloned human embryos that would eventually be of ourselves in order to develop those cloned embryos, of which would not be us, by the way. They'd be our identical siblings for use in body parts. So there are many people already at that agenda. You just wouldn't let them become adult people, that's all.
Folks, you're going to find a link to Wesley Smith's blog under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Wesley Smith is a senior fellow in human rights and bioethics for the Discovery Institute, an attorney for the International Task Force on Euthanasia and Assisted Suicide, a special consultant for the Center for Bioethics and Culture, and author of several books, including Consumer's Guide to a Brave New World. Wesley, thanks.
Thank you, Todd. Good talking to you.
Monday on the program, we're going to discuss pietism, individualistic, experiential, subjective Christianity. Dr. Larry Rast will join us here on Issues Etc. Tuesday, Greg Kokel will be our guest. We will talk about dialoguing with someone who constantly interrupts you. What do you do when you can't get a word in edgewise? Then Wednesday, we'll continue our series on bad ways to argue about abortion. Well, interrupting is a bad way, too, but Scott Klusendorf will join us to talk about another bad way that is confusing objective moral claims with subjective ideas and ad hominem arguments on Tuesday. We'll continue that conversation with Scott Klusendorf. Thursday, we'll begin a two-part series with Pastor Paul McCain on the Lord's Supper. I want you to consider this. How you look at your fellow man is how your fellow man's going to look at you. It's kind of golden rule stuff, isn't it? How you regard your neighbor, let's think of him as our neighbor. How you regard your neighbor is how your neighbor will regard you. There's a truth in the golden rule, but there's also the notion that your neighbor is there in need of everything you can do for him, not the other way around. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again Monday. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.